Welcome to installment 56 of Sefer HaMitzvot from the Rambam. Today's portion contains three sections. Positive commandment number 157, which is the commandment to tell about the exile and the exodus from Egypt. Then we have from the Mishneh Torah the section of the Haggadah, the version of the Haggadah of Pesach, according to the Rambam. And finally, positive commandment 170, the commandment to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. We will begin with positive mitzvah number 157, which, as we mentioned, is discussing the exodus from Egypt. This, Maimonides relates, is according to the abilities of every individual person. However, a person is able to discuss this release from Egypt and the story of the miraculous release of the Jews from Egypt, he should go and do so. Today, of course, we fulfill this commandment by reading the Haggadah, reciting the Haggadah as set forth by our sages throughout the ages and as discussed in the tractate Pesachim. Maimonides relates that the story should consist of three individual parts. First, we should relate this that the Egyptians did to us, how they persecuted us in Egypt. Also, we should relate how God went and paid them back, all of the miracles and the wonders that were done for us in Egypt, all of the 10 plagues, and so on and so forth. The third thing we should relate to Rabban Gamliel's thanks and our gratefulness, mention kindness and the miracles that God did for us in Egypt. This incidentally corresponds with the three things Rabban Gamliel says in the Haggadah that one must mention during the Passover Seder. One thing we must mention is the Mara. What's the idea of the Mara? The bitter herbs reminds us of the bitter times we had of the persecution of the Jews in Egypt. Another thing we must mention are the miracles that God did for us, which corresponds to the Pesach, the Paschal sacrifice, which, as we say in the Haggadah, represents the jumping over of the houses of the Jews during the plague of the firstborn. The third thing that Maimonides mentions, to thank God for the kindness he did for us, is represented by the Matzah, for the speedy release of us from the land of Egypt. We find, actually, that there is a mitzvah, a commandment, to mention the exodus from Egypt every single day. As the Rambam himself mentions, the laws of reading the Shema, as the third paragraph of Shema, the Parsha of Tzitzis, mentions the release from Egypt. Many different explanations are given, however, for the difference between the commandment of remembering the Exodus every single day and the commandment of once a year to go and remember the release, the Exodus, on the night of Passover. One is that on every day of the year, one must only mention the release from Egypt. This is not the case on the night of Passover, when one must say, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, a lengthy discussion of the Exodus. Another explanation which is given, that what do we discuss every night of the year and every day of the year, is only the fact that we were released. This is not the case on the night of Passover, when we discuss in length all of the miracles which are done, not the mere fact that we were released. The Rambam brings the source in the Chumash, in the Bible, where we learn this obligation. In the end of the Parsha Bo, in the book of Exodus, we find in chapter 13, verse 8, that on that day, meaning the day of Passover, you must tell your child, meaning you must tell him the story of the release of the Jewish people from Egypt. The Rambam says, you might think this applies only during the day. How do we know that this is on the night of Passover? And he says, this is explained by the continuation of the verse. We point to the matzahs before us and say, it is because of this that God released me from Egypt. The matzahs are before us on the night of Passover, during the Seder, and therefore we learn that the Haggadah should be recited at the time of the Seder, when the matzahs are in front of us. The Rambam brings other details of the mitzvah which we learn from the Mechilta, as the Mechilta, one of the oral explanations of the book of Exodus, explains some of the verses in the Parsha Bo. The verse says that when your son inquires, when your child asks you, you should tell him about the release from Egypt. Says the Mechilta, how do we know that only when he asks you, you must tell him? Maybe he'll sit there and not ask you, and we should just be quiet. The Mechilta says, no, we have another verse, an earlier verse, which says you must tell your child. Even if your child does not ask, you must recite the release, the Exodus from Egypt. What happens if you have no one else around you, ask the Mechilta? If you're by yourself, perhaps you could read the story, or perhaps you have no obligation of telling the story, only to someone else. The Mechilta says no. An even earlier verse relates that Moses told the people, Zachar, remember this day. And Maimonides points out from the Mechilta that to remember this day, the word Zachar was also found by the mitzvah of Shabbos, that when we are required to remember the Sabbath day in speech by saying Kiddush, we also use the word Zachar. And thereby the Rambam learns that we must remember verbally, even if we're by ourselves, the Exodus from Egypt. Many explanations are given about why we need speech. The Chinuch, for example, says that when you speak, when you say something verbally, this arouses your intention and it arouses your inner feelings. And when you think, you can think deeply about something. But how do you arouse your feelings? Only through speech. Tanya also explains, the Sefer HaTanya, that when someone speaks, he's not only utilizing his brain, he ends up utilizing the rest of his body also, his physical powers, utilizing the organs of speech. And therefore, the mitzvah penetrates his body more deeply. We should explain also from Tanya that the mitzvah of reciting and retelling the story of the Exodus is something which applies every day in a spiritual sense to every Jew as well. As we say in the Haggadah, a person must view himself every day as if he just now came out of Egypt. Even though we don't find ourselves in a physical Egypt, it says in Tanya. Nevertheless, the word for Egypt in Hebrew, Mitzrayim, also indicates Mitzarim, limitations. That every person has personal limitations in what he wants to fulfill with his life and is prohibited from doing certain things by his evil inclination and by certain personal limitations which prevent him from becoming fully involved in the Torah and its mitzvahs. So therefore we have to fulfill every day the coming out of Mitzrayim, the coming out of these limitations, and fully renew our commitment to the Torah. Many different discussions, of course, are related every year at the times of the Haggadah. I would just like to relate one word of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, explaining that the beginning of the Haggadah, the beginning of the story of the Exodus, is something which apparently has no connection with this mitzvah altogether. We begin the Haggadah after the sign Magid, that we tell the story with Heilach Ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction. And we say, this year we are here, and next year we will be in the land of Israel. This year we are slaves, and next year we will be free people. The Rebbe asked, why is it that we say this as part of the story of the Exodus? If we're stressing that this year we're still here and we're not yet in Israel and this year we're slaves, what does it matter to us that next year we'll be free and next year we'll be in the land of Israel with the coming of Mashiach? This doesn't stress the freedom that should be represented by the Exodus. The Rebbe answers that this is said at the beginning of the Haggadah to go and answer the question that any child would have at the Seder. If God brought us out of Egypt and made us free people, why are we still in the exile? Why are we still under the control, at least to a certain extent, of the non-Jewish nations? Why are we not free to go and observe Torah mitzvahs as we should and could be doing at the times of the rebuilding of this Beis HaMikdash of the Temple in Jerusalem? With this, the Rebbe says, we answer Heilach Ma'anya, that even though we came out of Egypt, this was only a beginning of our redemption, only a beginning of our exodus, and we're still holding in the middle of this exodus. And therefore, we are still, this year we are here, we have not completed our exodus, and this year we are still to a certain extent slaves. But next year we say, since we have already begun the redemption, the exodus from Egypt, then next year we can already be in the land of Israel, and next year we can be fully free with the coming of Mashiach. But to conclude this mitzvah with a statement of the Chinuch, and I will quote, that this idea of the exodus of Egypt is a great fundamental concept and mighty pillar of our Torah and our faith. And therefore we say in all of our blessings and prayers that this is Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, that this is a remembrance of the coming out of Egypt, that the coming out of Egypt reminds us of God's creation of the world and His constant creation of the world, and that He oversees the conduct of the world, and that He will occasionally change the entire laws of nature in order to accomplish His ends, just like He did for the Jewish people in the days of Egypt. The second mitzvah for today is positive commandment number 170, to hear the sound of the shofar. The Rambam points out that the commandment is to hear the sound of the shofar, and not to actually blow the shofar. This can be a very big difference. For someone that has, for example, shut up his ears, has stuffed them up in a way that he cannot hear, if he blows the shofar, he has not fulfilled the commandment of shofar if he himself did not hear it. So too, we know we must hear the voice of the shofar. We cannot merely hear a reflection, an echo of the shofar, or a reproduction as it is over a telephone or a tape recorder. And therefore, someone that would blow the shofar, for example, into the opening of a cave, and hears the resounding echo of the shofar as it comes out, would not be fulfilling the commandment of hearing the shofar, even though he himself was blowing the shofar. The Rambam points out that we learned about the commandment of blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah from the book of Numbers, in the first verse of chapter 29, when we speak about Yom Teruah, about the day of blowing. However, this verse does not mention the shofar whatsoever. We learn about the shofar in another place, in the book of Leviticus, with the discussion of the Jubilee year, that in the Jubilee year on Yom Kippur, the shofar is blown, as the verse says, the proclamation with the ram's horn. And since by both we say the word teruah, the blowing, we learn that both blowings must be done with the shofar with the ram's horn. In the temple in Jerusalem on the Rosh Hashanah, when they blew the shofar, it was not only the shofar alone. They would also blow with two trumpets, the chatzetres. This is learned from the book of Psalms in chapter 98, where it describes the blowing before the king of God the king with trumpets and the sound of shofar. However, since we shouldn't go and drown out the sound of the shofar with the trumpets always stopped a little bit before the sound of the shofar finished, and that we could always go and hear the shofar after the chatzotos ended. What is the idea behind this mitzvah? The Rambam in his Laws of Tshuva, his Laws of Repentance, says that it's gzeiras hakosuf, that it's a law without reason. Nevertheless, the Rambam says, there is still a hint, there is an idea behind this mitzvah, that the shofar tells us that sleeping ones, you should wake up. Those of you that are napping, get up from your slumber, examine your deeds, and return to God with tshuva, with repentance, and remember your Creator. And the Rambam says this refers to those people that forget the truth, meaning the truth of the purpose of the creation and the purpose of their existence in this world, and forget it because of the vanities of time, and they waste their time and they waste their thoughts for things that have no use. And therefore the shofar comes as a message to us to go and improve our ways. Why is it we need a shofar? Couldn't we read the Rambam's description? The Chinuch says that every person needs some outside form of arousal. He needs a little bit of a push, some sort of sign to go and spur him on to examine his deeds, an Eir Chitzeni. This, the Chinuch says, is the shofar. It reaches the depths of our hearts to go and inspire us to go and re-examine our deeds and improve our ways. This is one of the reasons why we blow the shofar not only on Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei, but in the month preceding the month of Elul, which is an entire month of tshuva, of repentance. An interesting law we find in Yad HaChazaka from the Rambam is that we do not blow the shofar when it falls out on Shabbos. The reason for this is Gezeira de Rabba, that Rabba, at the times of the Talmud, made a decree that if someone would have to blow the shofar on Shabbos, he might come to go and carry it outside, and carrying outside on Shabbos is forbidden, and therefore we make it forbidden to blow the shofar on Shabbos. Chassidic philosophy points out, however, that this law is not totally understood, that just because of such an unlikely occurrence that someone might come to carry outside on Shabbos, we should go and take away this mitzvah, this tremendous mitzvah of blowing the shofar from everybody, even from wise people and tzaddikim who would never be suspected of carrying outside on Shabbos. And Chassidus points out that when Shabbos comes out to be Rosh Hashanah, we already have, in one sense, the idea of the blowing of the shofar. That one of the effects of blowing the shofar is to elicit a powerful influence, a powerful spiritual flow from above. And this spiritual flow comes down to the world and elevates and purifies and comes down to the entire physical world. This flow and this effect comes down on Shabbos as well. And therefore it explains in Chassidus that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't really need the blow of the shofar as much, since we already have Shabbos going and affecting the world in such a high fashion, the necessity of blowing shofar on Shabbos is eliminated. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple, there was a possibility for an even superior influence, a superior godly influence. What the shofar could accomplish in the Beis HaMikdash was superior to what the shofar can accomplish anywhere else. Therefore, although everywhere else it was unnecessary to blow the shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, in the Beis HaMikdash, you still had something additional to reveal through blowing the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, even on Shabbos. And therefore the law was that when Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos, in the Beis HaMikdash you were allowed to blow shofar. And the reason is we want to bring down to the world this superior godly revelation. And therefore we would blow on Shabbos as well. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.